Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This hour is brought to you by Busey Bank.
It is a tweaked groin issue. And if you've ever tweaked your groin, I got to tell you, no, it's an issue.
Steve Stone.
That one's going to be on highlight reels all year long.
Chicago White Sox television analyst.
Well, he's held Luis Robert pretty well in check tonight, but there's always that fourth time.
Robert squares this one up. Back to back, T.A. and Luis, and that fourth time's a charm.
You can only hold him down for a bit.
Steve Stone.
Tremendous honor for us at The Score to be here and carrying on this tradition. The toast to Harry Carey.
I couldn't keep up with him. Nobody really could. George Brett was a fairly young guy, and Harry said, you know, you like to play golf?
Yeah.
Why don't you come in the offseason and visit me? After 2 days, George Brett, a very young, virile athlete, went back to Kansas City. And somebody asked him, what happened? He only lasted 2 days. He goes, I feared for my life.
hey, I want to be a rock star.
Oh, I want to be a rock star.
With Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Thrilled whenever we get the opportunity to talk to the best analyst in baseball, Steve Stone, who joins us on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Stoney, as always, thank you so much for the time. Did you enjoy some time off?
Yes, I really did. And apparently, I stayed away long enough to miss spring and summer, because I've come back and it seems like it's fall once again, but that's Chicago for you.
Exactly. You know Chicago. It's going to be summer on Memorial Day, and then it'll probably snow in June. We have no idea.
Yeah.
So a lot happened while you were gone. You were gone, obviously. I'm curious what you made of both the incident and the fallout that led to a one-game suspension for Josh Donaldson, given what he said to Tim Anderson.
Well, sometimes you have to answer what's swirling around you the only way you really can as a baseball player, and that's in the case of Tim Anderson with his bat. I love the fact that he had a three-run homer. The Sox swept the doubleheader. It was very similar to that Field of Dreams game where he homered to the opposite field to win the ball game. So as far as what went on, I was not there. I was not around the ball club. But I love the fact that Tim did what Tim's been doing, which is hitting the baseball. And, you know, that was a ball club maybe, as far as the Sox are concerned, maybe trying to find somewhat of an identity through some trying times early in the season. I love the fact that they coalesced. They beat a very good Yankee team in their home ballpark, a doubleheader. I think that's the thing to take out of that coming into this Boston series, because they're facing a very hot Boston team. They've got to try to do something about Trevor Story, who was driven in 24 runs in May already. Hit 7 home runs in the last 11 games. They've got a lot on their plate right now. And so as far as what happened in New York, it's best left in New York as far as the White Sox are concerned.
Well, Yasmani Grandal stepping up in the fifth inning of that game and having Tim Anderson's back. Tony La Russa after the game having Tim Anderson's back and everybody talking about it. That seemed to be a very healthy thing. And it's risky to correlate that directly with a doubleheader sweep at Yankee Stadium the next day, but stranger things have happened. Your thoughts on seeing the team come together in Tim's defense in what was obviously a rough moment?
Well, looking at it, again, from afar, I felt that this was a White Sox team that was looking for something. Didn't matter really what it was or what was going to happen. And I think the fact that they played a very good series in New York, certainly that doubleheader was one of the highlights of a season that has a lot of inconsistencies. And yes, the team coalescing around him was a great thing. And hopefully they can take it forward because, you know, this is a game and a day where they've got a new team coming to town. What's happened has happened, and you have to look forward. I mean, anything that diverts your attention from the job at hand, and the job at hand is winning baseball games. That's what the Sox have to do. They have a greater goal here, and I think it's time to look for the greater goal. And however it is they get there, and tonight they're going to have to play without Luis Robert, who went on the COVID IL. And so it just keeps happening to this Sox team. They seem to get reassembled only to be disassembled. And, you know, that's what's on the mind of each and every one of these players as they head into this series this evening.
It's funny, Joe Kelly was in studio with us yesterday, and he was amazing on so many things. But he said that, like, the mark of a championship team and the ones that he's been on, the teams that have played in the World Series, you know, took, you know, angst with the Astros was an example, right?
For the Dodgers, yes, angry at the cheating thing. He said the Red Sox, with that title team that he was on, had a bench-clearing brawl. Like, every title team he's been on has had that kind of moment.
Do you have, like, I have to imagine you had something from your playing days, Stoney, that had nothing to do really with baseball, like hits, strikeouts, that sort of thing, but it galvanized the team. Certainly Joe Kelly thinks that that's a real thing.
Well, there's a lot of aspects to a season, and you go through some difficult times. And many times it is a bench-clearing brawl. That can happen. Sometimes it's a clubhouse meeting where all of a sudden everybody sits down and one person steps up that you might not necessarily think. I mean, the famous story of the Cubs on that rain delay in Game 7, and it's Jason Hayward who stepped up getting some time that nobody thought the team was going to get to recompose themselves. And I don't know what Jason Hayward said. I just know that whatever it was that he did say, that team came back and won Game 7, won the World Series, and that was for them a defining moment. Sometimes it's early in the season, sometimes it's later. I don't know if this is going to be the defining moment as far as the White Sox are concerned, but this is a team, like I say, they're searching for a certain identity. I think they have the guys that are in that clubhouse to step up and do it. And there is no doubt that Tim Anderson is the catalyst to this team. When Tim is playing well, when he's hitting, when he's getting on base, when he's doing the things that he can do as far as stealing a base and everything else that comes with Tim Anderson as a player, this is a much better team. So obviously anything that affects Tim affects the ball club. They affected it in a very positive way coming out of New York, and we'll see if they can take it forward.
You mentioned the Red Sox are now getting going, and Trevor Story's been ridiculous. As a team, they have like an OPS over 925 in the last 7 days. Yeah. Best offense in baseball the last 2 weeks. Tim Anderson has been great. Luis Robert, unfortunately, on the COVID list has been great. What needs to happen for this White Sox offense to wake up the way that the Red Sox offense has over the past 2 weeks?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One of the things is Jose Abreu has to go back to being the Jose Abreu we've seen over the last 4 or 5 or 6 years. I think he's showing signs of doing that because normally when he really drives the ball to right and right center field, things are starting to come around for him. I think he's going to break out of what has been to this point for him a very frustrating season to this point. Grandal has to be the second half of Grandal, the second half we saw last year, a guy that will consistently hit the baseball out of the ballpark. So they have a lot of guys who are off to a relatively slow start. Now, we're talking about the quarter pole. That's exactly where this team is at this point, 41 games, just a touch over 25% of the season. They have got to go back to stinging the baseball the way this team envisioned they were going to do it. And the reason they have speaks is that let's just take a typical baseball game. Perhaps when you give up three runs, you're going to give up three runs to the opposition because Sox pitching has been pretty good. So you give up three runs and you lose the game 3-2 because you've made a base running mistake. You've made a defensive mistake. You haven't hit a cutoff man. Anything can happen in a ball game, and it becomes obviously illuminated when you don't score. You win that same game 8-3 with the same mistake or two that comes from whatever it is you're doing as far as execution is concerned, and you don't really worry about it. It becomes a non-event. So that becomes the key to this Sox team. Look, they haven't been a particularly good defensive team over the last couple of years. It's almost inconceivable to think that they're going to get substantially better defensively. Yes, they will hit cutoff men better. Yes, Tim Anderson is a better shortstop than he's shown to this point. And you expect that a guy who made 10 errors all of last year will tighten it up defensively, and I think he's going to. So you look at what the key to the team is. They're going to pitch well, both out of the bullpen and in the starting rotation. Kopech has been a revelation. He's been outstanding. Dylan Cease has had a great year. Giolito is going to come back and be the guy that we counted on. Lance Lynn will come back. You look at those top four guys, and if Johnny Cueto is the guy that he was, then all of a sudden you've got a starting rotation that's awfully tough. Cueto has pitched two brilliant baseball games. Now, he had a little glitch in the last one. I think maybe, hopefully it was a cramp, and he's going to be fine, because when he's anywhere close to what he was before, he's a quality pitcher who doesn't really think about pressure very much. You know, he's been through just about everything, so nothing's going to bother him. And the two times he went out, you know, starting against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium in that first game, after losing the first game, you've just lost 3 of 4 here in Chicago. You lost the first game of the series. Cueto takes the baseball and was brilliant in that first game, which helped set up the Sox win. So I love the fact that he's thrown the ball probably as well as he's thrown it in a while. I mean, that fastball was 93, 94 miles an hour. He was hitting his spots. The breaking ball was really good. All of his motions really disrupt the timing of hitters. And again, if he's healthy, that's good. But let's take him out of the equation. Let's take everybody else who potentially could start in the five spot. Let's just look at the top four. You go into a short series, a playoff series, and I think the Sox will be there, but you get into a playoff series and you've got, in no particular order, you've got Giolito and Lynn and Kopech and Cease. That's four pretty good starters. You're literally going to be able to beat anybody in baseball with those four starters, assuming that the Sox are going to hit the baseball, and I think they will.
Steve Stone is our guest, Parkinson Spiegel on the Score. I said yesterday, Stoney, when obviously we were talking a lot about the TA and Donaldson thing, that if that doesn't happen, every show in the city, in my opinion, leads with Michael Kopech's game. Not that it was a breakout in the sense that we were surprised by what he could do, but who he did it against, the stage at which he did it on, and the efficiency in which he did it. If that wasn't a breakout game for Michael Kopech, what was it?
Well, this has been a breakout year for him, and let's take him back to when he pitched against the Yankees in our ballpark here. You couple that with what he did at the start of that ball game, and he retired 30 straight New York Yankees, 30 straight guys of a team that literally has terrorized just about everybody in baseball. I mean, when you take a look at those guys in that lineup, and you're going to face, you know, you're going to face Judge, you're going to face Stanton, you're going to face Donaldson, who's a good hitter, you're going to face, you know, just about every one of those guys in that lineup. LeMahieu has won a batting title in both leagues. He's either going to hit first or second in that lineup. He retired 30 straight. That is a magnificent performance. What you're seeing is a guy who has matured before all of our very eyes. I mean, this is a guy with outstanding stuff. He always had that. Now he's learned how to harness it. And I think, Danny, you hit it on the head when you said the efficiency with which he did it, because he's always going to strike out a lot of guys because of that big fastball. However, he was throwing mostly all strikes. He realized to go deep into that game, he was going to have to limit his pitches. And guys with big arms, guys who strike out a lot of guys, usually also walk some guys. Consequently, that pitch count gets up around 100 or over 100 in five innings. He was able to take that game through seven, a remarkable performance. And I think that, you know, every fifth day, however he's going to pitch, sometimes on a sixth day, I think you've got yourself quite a horse there, and you follow him up with Dylan Cease and Lucas and Lance Lynn coming back. It's going to be pretty impressive in that starting rotation, which, by the way, is really going to help that bullpen. And I think, you know, don't forget, Joe Kelly has not been as consistent as we would like him to be. However, he missed all of spring training. I mean, this is a guy literally going through spring training as he goes out on a major league mound in a championship season. That's a guy who's showing some of the rust, but when he comes back, that stuff, 98-mile-an-hour sinker and a good hard breaking ball to go with it, I mean, he's going to be a huge addition to that bullpen. And I think, I think you saw Liam at Liam's best. I think the bullpen's going to be better than it's been.
Stoney, we had a chance to ask Joe Kelly about that mound visit from Ethan Katz with the bases loaded and nobody out. Was it as impactful as it seemed? Want you to hear this and then comment on it. Joe Kelly with us yesterday.
I'm not going to go verbatim, but it was good. It was the most emotion I've seen Ethan Katz have. And he just said, man, why don't you just pitch pretty much? Like, I'm always competing. But he's like, it just looked like he thought I was too methodical. He's like, just go out there and pretty much compete. He's like, right now, I don't give a crap if it's base loaded pretty much. He's like, just go out and compete, like, pitch. I was like, all right.
He challenged
me a little bit, and it was great.
You strike me as a guy who, when you get challenged.
I
need that,
yeah. Like, I love coming in with runners on base because I know, like, I want to help my teammate. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
My brain needs to be stimulated a little bit, I guess.
Well, that's pitching coach's job,
right? That's why playoffs are great. I love playoffs. You know what I mean? It's always go, 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 go.
So that's Joe Kelly talking about Ethan Katz challenging him. What do you think of that? Sounds like he might have found something to get into Joe Kelly's head, Stoney.
Well, I think I looked at the background of Ethan Katz when he came over. I talked with him. We have shared a couple of different things. I loved his philosophy about pitching, what he's going to do. He's a new school pitching coach with an old school mind. And I think the combination of the two is going to prove out to be one of the great pitching coaches in the major leagues. I mean, Brent Strom has a history of being terrific, and he's been around a long time, and he's doing a great job right now with the Diamondbacks after his years with Houston. And I think he is a wonderful pitching coach. Again, an old school pitcher who pitched in the major leagues, but he embraces the new philosophy of analytics and everything that goes with it. Ethan Katz is the same kind of guy. I love the fact that he goes out and he seems to be a very calm ship in a storm of whatever's going on at any one given time. But the key with Joe Kelly is that's the most animated and the most excited he's seen Ethan Katz, which, by the way, wasn't too animated and excited. He just went out and gave him what he needs at a given time. That, for me, is the secret of any pitching coach, because these guys are all different. There's a different trigger with each and every one of these pitchers. And the great pitching coaches, what separates those guys that bounce from team to team to team to the guys who go to a team and make and leave their mark on that team, what separates those guys is knowing, number one, what he's going to do when he goes out there, but also knowing what turns the light on for each and every one of these pitchers, because it's all different. A one-size-fits-all pitching coach doesn't work. Because it isn't, you know, you're not going to find a one-size-fits-all pitcher. They're all different. They all have different motivations. Yes, they want to get people out, but they do it in a different way. I think Ethan is going to be, before he's done, he's going to go down as one of the great pitching coaches in the major leagues. I love the way he handles the staff. I love his philosophies. And I love the fact that he can take all that's new in pitching, blend it with the great things that are old in pitching, and blend them together to get the best out of each and every one of these guys.
Why don't pitching coaches end up being great managers sometimes?
Well, I think that's true a lot of the time. And I think because a manager has to do a lot of different things, and a pitching coach just has to concentrate on one. Now, for a pitching coach, let's take a look at what makes a good one. And what I think speaks is that you have to be part mechanic, you have to be part psychologist, and you have to be part father confessor. You go out there as a three-part situation, and you understand what makes these pitchers tick. But for a manager, when he's looking at the grand scheme of things, number one, he has to know how to get the best out of his bench coach, his first base coach, his third base coach. He has to know what makes each and every one of them tick. He has to know what makes his pitching coach tick. He has to know what makes his outfield coach an infield coach. He has to know each and every one of those jobs and understand how to get each and every one of those guys better so he can get the full team better. Then he has to take a look at the other team, not only the pitching or the hitting of the other team, but the total concept that the other team is trying to do and bring into a series against you. Why they don't make good ones, I don't really know, but it seems to me that the catchers, the guys who are major league catchers, because they have the entire game in front of them, because they have to know each and everything about not only their pitchers, but every one of the other team's pitchers and how they're going to get him out, because he's got to be an offensive player as well as a defensive player. Those guys seem to make the best managers, because with seven guys in front of them, or eight guys rather in front of them, including the pitcher, they have to know how each and every one of those guys works. And that's why when you take a look at major league managers over the course of major league history, the overwhelming amount of the real good ones have started out as catchers. And then they go and they use the same philosophy they have with a team concept, and they seem to get the most out of their team. So I don't know why pitching coaches don't make good managers. There's been a few that have been pretty decent managers, but overall, it seems to me like catchers dominate that profession.
Steve Stone, it's good to have you back. Can't wait to see you reunited with Jason on the broadcasts, and always love talking to you. We'll talk to you down the line.
I'm looking forward to it, because this is a different Red Sox team than we saw in Boston. There's a whole lot of our fans thought the Red Sox weren't good. What I said at the time was there's going to come a time in the not-too-distant future where pitchers are not going to be real happy to face that offense. This is the time. That's a good Boston offense.
We'll be watching. Thank you, Steve Stone.
Okay, boys. Have a good show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!